This week we will discuss dealing honestly. One Yid who was very occupied with his business throughout the entire week only had Shabbos to devote himself to learning Torah. Feeling very bad about this, he asked a Chacham what he could do that would be equivalent to all other mitzvahs and will bring him to Olam Haba. The Chacham answered, "Being that you are a businessman, make sure to deal honestly with both Yidden and Goyim. Tilt the scale to benefit your customer and always do your business dealings with a smile." The Chacham concluded, "If you do so, may my portion in Olam Haba be like yours." When a person passes on to the next world, the first question the Beis Din on High will ask him is, "Did you deal honestly in business?" The Torah relates how Lavan treated Yaakov Avinu, tricking him countless times. Nevertheless, Yaakov Avinu remained honest with him, never taking anything he was not entitled to. He watched over Lavan's sheep in the sweltering heat and bitter cold, and replaced any lost sheep even when it was entirely not his fault. At the time of the Istalkos of the Rebbe Maharash, the Rebbe Rashab was only 22 years old. Years later, after accepting the Nasius, he said, "The Mittel Rebbe writes that doing business sincerely is greater than learning Torah Lishma. Surely, then, it is more difficult. Therefore, I was afraid to accept this upon myself, and since one has to make a keli for his livelihood, I chose the Nasius instead." The Tzaddik Rebbe Menachem Mendel of Rimanov said, "Just as non-kosher food corrupts a Yid's mind and heart, so too, food bought with dishonest money has a negative effect on all those who benefit from it." The Torah promises that if a person performs his dealings honestly, he will gain more money for business. But if a person is dishonest, he will lose his money. Furthermore, one who deals honestly will be rewarded even for business he did not do. For had he done so, he would surely have been honest. Once, as Eliyahu HaNavi was walking on his way, a man approached him and began asking many questions in Torah. Eliyahu HaNavi answered each one, and the man then related the following. "A goy once came to my home to buy a large amount of dates. I only had a small measuring container, and therefore needed to measure small amounts, and then total all the measurements together. Because of this, and the fact that my house was dark, I miscalculated and gave the goy less than I was supposed to. Later, I used the money to buy a jug of oil and put it in the same place where I had sold the dates. A short while later, the jug broke and all the oil spilled out." Eliyahu HaNavi explained to the man that the Torah forbids stealing from a goy just as it forbids stealing from a yid, and therefore he was not able to benefit from that money. Two business partners went to the Tzaddik Rav Meir Premishlaner to ask for a bracha regarding their business venture. "Have you written out your partnership contract?" the Tzaddik asked. "No," they said. Reb Meir took out a piece of paper and wrote the letters Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, and then handed the sheet to the businessmen. Seeing their confusion, he explained, "In these four letters, the secret to success is hidden. Each one is an initial. Aleph stands for Emunah, Beis, Bracha, Gimel, Gneva, and Dalet, Dalos. If your transactions are honest, then Bracha will come upon them. If you cheat, then you can expect to become poor." In Shulchan Aruch it is paskin that it is forbidden to mislead another yid or goy in business dealings, even when it involves a very small amount. If a customer is expecting a certain product, it is forbidden to sell him something of lesser quality. One is not allowed to polish a product so it appear to be of superior quality. A worker must work faithfully, doing his job with utmost diligence. If one gives his word to make a deal, he should keep it. As the Pasuk says, Hein Tzedek. Hein means, yes, you give your word. Tzedek, you must be justful about it. And the Yirei Shamayim should even keep a decision he made in thought. As the Pasuk says, V'dover emes bilvavoy. The Amora Rav Safra had an item for sale. One day while reciting Kriyat Shema, someone approached him and offered to buy it for a certain price. Rav Safra did not respond, and the man thought that he wanted more money and quoted a larger figure. When Rav Safra finished, he sold it to the man at the first price, since in his mind he had agreed to that offer. Shlomo HaMelech writes, "Treasures of wickedness will not avail, but tzedaka will rescue from death." The Meiri explains this to mean that money acquired in a dishonest manner will not bring benefit to a person. Only money acquired in righteous fashion will do one good. Another explanation, tzedakah given from dishonest money will bring no benefit, as it will go to undeserving recipients. However, tzedakah given from righteously earned money will reach sincere causes and thereby protect the giver from death. Chazal explained that the mitzvah of loving Hashem requires that a yid should act in a way that makes Hashem beloved by others. When a person learns Torah and deals honestly in business, people will say, "How great is he who learns Torah? How wonderful are his ways!" Woe to one who does not learn Torah. We promise that we will learn and teach our children Torah as well. But when, chas v'shalom, a person who learns Torah does not act honestly, people will say the opposite, causing a chilul Hashem. The Rebbe explained that dealing honestly means going even beyond the requirement of halacha. One should do so even when dealing with goyim, thus creating a kiddush Hashem. The Tana Reb Shimon ben Shetach sold flax and would carry it himself from place to place. So his Talmidim offered to buy him a donkey to ease his work. They went to the marketplace and bought a donkey from an Arab merchant. When they returned home, they noticed that the merchant had accidentally left an expensive jewel hanging on the donkey's neck. Excitedly, they came to Rabbi Shimon, telling him that Hashem had sent a bracha and he would no longer have to work. Rabbi Shimon asked, "Did the owner know about it?" "No," they replied. "If so, you must return it immediately, for he sold you a donkey and not a jewel." When the goy received the gem, he exclaimed with admiration, "Blessed is the God of Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach." King Alexander the Great once visited the king of Katsia to observe his country's customs and rules. Just then, two people were admitted to have their judgment rendered by the king. "My master, the king," called out the plaintiff, "I bought a desolate piece of land from this man here, dug it up, and discovered a buried treasure. So I told him to take the treasure. I bought a ruin and not a treasure." "Just as you are afraid of getting punished for stealing, so am I," responded the other. "I sold a ruin to you, including everything in it, from the depths of the earth until the sky." The king asked one man if he has a son, and the other if he has a daughter. He advised that their children get married and the treasure be given to the new couple. King Alexander looked on in amazement. "Didn't I judge well?" queried the king of Katsia. "Sure, but if I would have been the arbitrator, I would have killed them both and taken the treasure for the kingdom's coffers." The king of Katsia then asked, "Does the sun shine in your country?" "Yes," King Alexander replied. "Does it rain?" He nodded affirmatively. "Do you have animals?" "Yes," he said. "Well, then the sun shines and the rain falls in merit of those animals," the king of Katsia declared, meaning, and not in the merit of King Alexander, who was so rotten. Reb Baruch, the Alter Rebbe's father, at 14 years of age, left his hometown Vitebsk and traveled through many villages. Arriving in the Bromzil, he settled down to learn in the Beis Medrash. One day, a man came over to him and introduced himself. "My name is Eliezer Ruvain, and I have a smithy on the outskirts of town. I live nearby, and I could use some help, so if you would care for such a job, I would provide you with food and drink and a place to sleep." Baruch was overjoyed, for this was exactly what he had wanted. He was prepared to do the hardest labor, as long as he would earn his own piece of bread without having to rely on anyone's tzedakah. Baruch agreed, but asked to be paid with money so he would not have to eat and sleep in the home of strangers. Baruch soon arrived at the smithy and worked conscientiously throughout the day, and in the evening he would go to the Beis Medrash to learn. He now had the opportunity to observe Eliezer Ruvain and began to feel a great respect for him. All day, as the smith stood hammering the red-hot iron, he would recite Tillim by heart, capital after capital. The smith's customers were the peasants of the surrounding villages who would bring their wagons and tools for fixing. Baruch noticed the exceptional honesty and devotion with which Eliezer Ruvain treated his customers, never overcharging them even a fraction of a cent. Once, Baruch noticed something which made a deep impression on him. A peasant from a nearby village had brought his horse to the smith for shoeing, and at the same time to have the wheel of his wagon fixed. Another peasant had brought his horse to have four new shoes put on. When the time came to ask for the money, Eliezer Ruvain charged the second peasant the amount he should have charged the first one, overcharging him 6 groschen. Both peasants had already left when Eliezer Ruvain realized his mistake. He was so upset about it that despite the smallness of the overcharge, he immediately set off on foot to the village where this peasant lived, about 3 miles away, to give him back the overcharged amount. Baruch was astounded. He had never seen such meticulousness on the part of an ordinary person. He asked the smith if he really thought it had been worthwhile to walk the 6 mile distance there and back for a matter of 6 groschen. Eliezer Ruvain replied, "About the people who lived before the Mabul, it is written that they were so rotten that they were not even bothered when robbing someone less than a pruta, a small coin. Do you want me to behave even worse than the wicked people of that generation and rob a man of 6 groschen?"